Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor, for we know it all belongs to you, God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So let's get our screen prepared right now. And I'm excited once again for this study. And I've entitled this evening's message, Becoming Joint Heirs with Christ. Becoming Joint Heirs with Christ. You see, there are so many beautiful benefits, saints of God, of being a born-again child of God. And one of the things we're going to cover this evening is we're identified as having been joint heirs now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when you're a joint heir with the Creator of all things, it's a privilege, it's an honor. And let me just say this, we have been entitled by the grace of God and the mercy of God. So everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. And so we should never walk with any fear, knowing that God is with us. Amen. That He's with us. He's always going to be with us. And so I'm ready to get started. We're going to expound verses 1 through 7. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way as we go right through this study this evening. Amen. And so let's go there now. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Did you catch that, saints? To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, there's some folks that are still operating like this. Look at this, verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, praise God. Look at this, verse 6 and 7. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs. Here we go. This is where I got our topic. Become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, there's a whole lot right here, verses 1 through 7, to unpack. And we're going to do that right now. Praise God. So let's go with the first verse. And it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready, praise God, for every good work. Say that with me at home. For every good work. Praise God. Saints, in addition to teaching, encouraging, and correcting, a Christian leader must also remind his congregation to submit to the government and to its officers. You see, my friends, as the believers awaited the return of Christ, no different than we are right now, and living eternally with Him in His government, we had to live under worldly authorities as well. And we get that. We get that. We're under worldly authorities. So Paul explained how believers in Crete could best do that by subjecting themselves to governing rulers and authorities and by obeying all the civil laws. He did not want any trouble with the authorities that would bring the church under suspicion. Praise God. And neither should we. Can I get an amen? Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church so we could get a little bit more clarity this evening. Look at this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring what? Judgment on themselves. Wow, wow, that's a staunch warning right there, saints of God. Look at this. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. That's the key, saints of God. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who, what? Practices evil. That's a staunch warning, saints. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to the very thing. Look at verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Praise God, praise God. Look, I found another verse of scripture to just solidify this in 1 Peter. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. Look at this. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, not for the job or employer's sake, but for the Lord's sake, saints of God. Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Look at this, verse 15 through 17. For this is the will of God. I need you to catch that. That by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And what? Honor the king, saints. It's as simple as that. You see, Christians understand obedience to the government in different ways. All Christians agree that we are to live, saints of God, at peace with the state as long as the state allows us to live by our religious convictions. Can I get an amen? For hundreds of years, saints of God, however, there have been at least three interpretations on how we are to do this. Number one is some Christians believe that the state is so corrupt that Christians should have as little to do with it as possible. And although, saints of God, they should be citizens as long as they can do so without compromising their beliefs, they should not work for the government. This is just another point of view. Or vote in elections or serve in the military. Although this fulfills the principle of abstaining from all sorts of evil, it prevents the Christian from being salt and light in the government, in the political world, and military system. Secondly, another point is others believe that God has given the state authority in certain areas and the church authority in others. Christians can be loyal to both and can work for either. And they should not, however, saints of God, confuse the two. In this view, church and state are concerned with two totally different spheres, the spiritual and the physical. And thus, saints of God, they complement each other, but do not work together. This view is very legitimate and supports Jesus' teaching to give Caesar what is Caesar's and to give God to what's God. And it can lead to isolation from the political world and indifference towards state leaders. Praise God. This is what I found in the book of Matthew regarding this. Look at this. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 19, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And so here is the mind of God, where these people could not figure this out. He said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these things, they marveled. Look at this. And left him and went their way. Wow. See, this is God Almighty, hallelujah, baffling them with pure wisdom from heaven. Praise God. Praise God. And then there's a third point of view, and still others believe, saints of God, that Christians have a responsibility to make the state better. And they can do this politically by electing Christian or other high principle leaders. Praise God. Praise God. And they can also do this morally by serving as good as an influence for good in society. In this view, saints of God, church and state ideally work together for the good of all. This view is preferred and seems to be best to portray the New Testament teaching. Praise God. Praise God. And so nowhere does Jesus call laymen to leave political or social service as a requirement for discipleship. Nuh-uh. Its inherent danger would be for the Christian to get so involved in worldly affairs that the Christian mission is lost. We're not to lose focus on the things of heaven. Can I get an amen, saints? And so, saints of God, besides being obedient, Paul mentioned readiness to do what is good. In other words, a willingness to serve. No doubt Christians who obeyed the government gave a good witness for their faith among authorities. Praise God. Even today, my own brother, who's a believer, has been in law enforcement almost his whole adult life. And he's been a light. And he upholds the banner of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And there's many like him. Praise God. We are to live in this world, but not be of the world. What does that mean? That means don't get tied into the culture, because the culture changes. It's constantly changes. It goes from one fad to another fad. Oh, that's right. They come and go. But we are to uphold truth and righteousness from the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. You see, saints of God, Christians active in community, service, and government had great opportunities to witness for Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 2 in Titus chapter 3. And he goes on to say, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to what? To all men. Praise God. Praise God. To all men. Not some. All men. We're to speak nothing evil, saints of God. And these bridge-building characteristics, saints of God, revealed changed lives and made the gospel message attractive to unbelievers. That's right. All Christians should check their conduct against these traits that we're sharing tonight. And to not speak evil of anyone meant forbidding Christians to spread evil rumors or gossip. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in James chapter 3. Look at this. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That's our own tongue, saints of God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to bridle it. Can I get amen? With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men. Oh my gosh, look at this. Who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Say that with me, my friends at home. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Praise God. Praise God. You see, believers were not to be caught up making reports about others that would prove to be untrue. There are some folks that I know, even in our own fellowship, has slandered people, and because they have an ought with them, they leave. But guess what? They go to the next fellowship, and it repeats all over again. Why? Because they never put themselves in check. They left because of false pride. They were not humble. They didn't want to work it out. So they huffed and puffed and got out and went somewhere else and took their junk in the trunk with them. Oh, that's right. And we cannot operate like the world, saints of God. We have to operate in truth and in charity. Can I get an amen? We have to be lovers of righteousness, lovers of truth. And we should be like Christ. Can I get an amen? Who did not retaliate when he was insulted. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? He did not retaliate. Look what I found right here to prove my point in 1 Peter 2:21. For this to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Look at this. Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, praise God, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, praise God. Look at this, verse 23 through 24. Who, when he was reviled, meaning he was persecuted, slandered against, mocked at. Look at this. He did not revile. In other words, he didn't get in someone's mug. He didn't get in their grill. He did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just pause real quick. Someone slanders you, gets in your grill. Walk away. Just walk away and take it to God. Can I get an amen? God will take care of your business if you do it right. But if you handle it on your own merit, your own strength, your own sinfulness, it'll always crash and burn. Let's continue this verse of scripture. Look at this, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, to avoid, saints of God, quarreling means to be peaceable. Christians were to be known as peacemakers in their relationships and within the church. And there's disagreements. We get that. But the believer should act to avoid them. Can I get amen? Not to engage and quarrel. You see, my friends, when disagreements degenerate into quarreling, there's little possibility of preserving peace and working toward a solution. Oh, no, why? Because pride will get in its way. And when you get puffed up with pride, guess what? You have no more discernment. You have no more reasoning. Your position, your own self-righteousness is above anybody else's. Instead of walking in humility, walking in the ways of God like we just read, God will work it out. Oh, yes, he will. You see, my friends, to be gentle and show true humility follows Christ's example. Christians should not be agitators, but conciliators. Can I get an amen? Believers could show gentleness and humility to unbelievers in their neighborhoods by offering help without strings attached. You see, my friends, when we help unbelievers, guess what happens? We open a door for the gospel. Praise God. How many of you have a heart for the lost? All right. Be gentle with them. Be kind. God will deal with them in his own time. It's not for us to deal with it. It's for God to deal with it. Amen. So let's move on to verse 3 of Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Look at this. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Oh, come on. We all have that BC testimony. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Wow. Wow. Oh, you weren't like that, were you? Oh, come on. You were born basically smelling like roses and acting with humility. No. We were rebellious. We had to be taught mannerism as a toddler, as a youth, even as a young adult, and there's still some adults that still need training. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the Cretans had a reputation for certain vices, yet Paul well understood that all believers once were sinners and had lived from they had lived for self, and they had lived for Satan. Wow. Wow. Look what I found right here. What spells it out right here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Look at this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We know that. These are unbelievers. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Look at this. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers and extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But look what God says right here about us now. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Listen, God has done the miraculous in our life. when God found us, we were dead in our sin. But He caused us to come alive unto Him. He's the one that gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He's the one that drew us to the cross. And when we surrendered our life, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus, through a heart of repentance that came first, the blood of Jesus then cleansed us from all sin. And when the sin was removed, now the Holy Spirit came in to live in our temple. Praise God forevermore. And that Holy Spirit that lives in us is proof that Jesus is real and that God is real and that He will come back for His church. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. I have some more scriptural proof on this. Look at this in Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Look what it says. Paul wrote to them and said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of a hardening," what? "Of their heart." Wow, wow, look at this. Verse 19 through 21. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you," say that with me at home, "but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Look at this. Verse 23 to 24. "That you put off," say that with me, "that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man." Say that with me at home, saints of God. "You put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Wow, wow, praise God. You see, my friends, Paul never forgot the change that God made in his own life, beginning with his experience in the Damascus Road. I think this is an appropriate time to relive. Let's circle back to his life right now, found in the book of Acts. Look at this. Then Saul, remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. He became Paul the Apostle after his conversion. But look at this. This is how evil he was. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way was the name of the born-again church that God poured out on the day of Pentecost. From that moment on, during this time, they were called the way. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. All he wanted to do was persecute the church. Look at this. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly," say that with me at home, "suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Wow. Let me just pause there. In other words, he wasn't going to go any further with his quest to kill the church. Let me just say this. Whatever quagmire, whatever situation that you find yourself in, and you've come to the end of your rope, that's when Jesus will appear. This is where Jesus will show up. Hallelujah. And He will defend you. He will lift you up. He will deliver you. He will save you. He will heal you. He will do things that you cannot do for yourself or nobody else. Hallelujah. And these people were being persecuted so severely that Jesus had to show up on the scene and confront, hallelujah, Saul of Tarsus. Praise God. Saints of God, Jesus will show up for you to defend you. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. Someone give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is our shield and buckler. Hallelujah. Jesus is our all in all. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our shield and buckler. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You have to fall in love with the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to believe that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. Can I get an amen? Let's continue with this story right here. Look at this. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. They heard the voice too of God. Wow. Wow. Look at this. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And there he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Wow. Wow. This is what you call truly fasting and praying. Look at this. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Wow, wow. That'll get anyone to pray. You lose your sight like that. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Let me pause right there. This is how God will deal with your enemies. That's right. You don't have to lift a finger. You don't have to say a thing. You don't have to curse them. You don't have to pray against them. You give everything to God. And as you are reading this story, God will be no different. He will defend you. He will bless you. He will uphold you. He will bring truth and righteousness. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Let's continue with this. And he says, then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Look at this. Verse 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, God made a sovereign choice. Paul did not go down an aisle at an altar call. Paul didn't repent and cry out to God. Oh no. Jesus came to him and Jesus chose him. Just like he chose you and I. We were chosen, saints of God, before the foundation of the world. I know my own testimony. Many of you heard mine. And I was out doing my crazy thing. And Jesus had to come, hallelujah, and interrupt my life. And thank you, Jesus, for interrupting my life, because there's no better life than living a life for Christ. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at this. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, look at this, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, wow, look at this, saints of God. In verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with his disciples at Damascus. Let me pause right there again. Did you notice after he repented and got filled with the Spirit of God, he then got baptized? There are some of you maybe listening that never got baptized as an adult. Well, you need to do exactly what they did. They led the way. It's God's blueprint, not mine, not the church's, not Amazing Grace. It's in the Word of God. Repent and be baptized. And I'm here to let you know, praise God, you can be baptized here anytime. 24/7, we have a jacuzzi. temperature is about 85 degrees, nice and warm, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's move on with this. Look at this. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for the purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Look at this. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Praise God. You see, Paul included himself, Titus, and all the believers in Crete, and all believers across the world, and to list the past, and to list all the rebels. All the rebels. Why? Because at one time they were foolish, and then God, hallelujah, came and did the miraculous. You see, foolish is used here as it is in Proverbs for those who arrogantly rebel against God and go their own way. Instead of being submissive, obedient, and ready to do good, they were disobedient toward God because of sin and misled by false teachers, so that they became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Wow. You see, my friends, without God, all unbelievers are enslaved to their passions and desires. And left alone, human nature can only go from bad to worse. Instead of avoiding slander and quarrels, being peaceful and considerate and humble in their lives, they were full of evil and envy. And so no matter how much love the world tries to create without God, the overriding power of sin produces a greater amount of hatred. Thus, there is no hope for sinful humanity apart from the intervention of the Holy God of Israel, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 4, 5, and 6. Look at this. But when the kindness, say that with me at home, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appear, look at this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Say that with me. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Look what God has done for us. Look what he's done for you, saints of God. And so, fortunately for us, God intervened. Praise God. God's kindness and love appeared in the human form of Jesus Christ, and by his death, he saved us from our deserved punishment for disobeying God. You see, my friends, he offered this great salvation because of his mercy alone, not because we deserved it by doing good things. Paul summarized what God does for us when he saves us. God washed away our sins. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? And so, my friends, as Paul explains the transaction, when believers receive this washing of rebirth, all sins, not merely some, are all washed away. We gain new life with all its treasures. The process is complete. Praise God. And you and I, we can experience what we have in many beautiful ways. But we have received the whole package. Praise God. Thank you, God. We live a new life because of the Holy Spirit, whom he generously poured out upon each and every one of us because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did for us. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in the book of Romans. Look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Wow, that's pretty harsh. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Look at this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through what? His Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. Look at this. Therefore, brethren, We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, it's very clear, you will live. Look at this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Look at this in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. In verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Look at this. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. Wow, saints of God. I can't wait for that day when we're glorified. We will be in the same type of body that Jesus is in right now. Hallelujah. A body that will never perish. A body that will live forever. A body that will appear, disappear. Body can even eat. Oh yes, but it will never die. It'll never be diseased. It'll never have a sinful mind. It'll never have flesh and blood. No, we're going to be new creatures, a new creation. Praise God. And we will know who we are, and we will know Him, because we will see Him face to face. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, all three persons of the triune God are mentioned in these verses, because all three participate in the work of salvation based upon the redemptive work of His Son. The Father forgives and sends the Holy Spirit to wash away our sins and continually renew us. Praise God. Praise God. And so we're going to break down our last verse in Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of what? The hope of eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. We have the hope of eternal life. Eternity, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, from Adam, we inherited guilt, a sinful nature, the tendency to sin, and God's punishment. But because Jesus took the punishment we deserve for that sin and made us right before God, we can trade punishment for forgiveness. Praise God. You see, we have been declared not guilty. We can trade our sin for Jesus' righteousness. Praise God. And when we do that by faith, we know that we will inherit eternal life. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Eternal life began the moment we gave our life to Christ. But there is more to come, saints of God. Our experience now is only a foretaste of what God has guaranteed to us in the near future. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed? How many are so blessed to know that we are saved now, sanctified, justified, and God sees us now in the future tense being glorified? I'm here to let you know, my friends, that Jesus is coming soon. Oh, that's right. He's coming soon. And He's coming again to take you and I home. My question is, for those of you that are maybe logged in for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole Bible study was all about God's grace and God's mercy toward us, sinful people. And many of us that are logged in, and many of us in our church, and many of us in this state, many of us in this nation, and many around the world have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is soon to return. Are you ready? Or is He going to come like a thief in the night when He comes regarding your condition? Well, guess what? Here's your opportunity. If you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time right now to surrender. The Bible says repent, meaning turn from your sinful ways and ask God to come into your life. And then the supernatural will take place. That's right. The blood of Jesus will be applied. And as we read earlier, all your sins will be removed from the east to the west. And guess what? He will remember them no more. And then He will fill you with His Holy Spirit of promise. And we will be heaven bound in a hell to shun. How many of you want that? How many of you want to be assured that when Jesus comes back, He'll come back for you too? Praise God. If that's you, I'm going to ask right now the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ like we did and be assured of eternal life. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Give Him a shout. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Listen, down below you see our banner right there. Praise God. Log in to our website. Our email, our phone number is there. Reach out to us. Let us know you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to send you a Bible. Or maybe if you live locally, give you a Bible. Invite you to the fellowship. And you'll have a wonderful new life in Christ. Oh, that's right. And also, I want to just thank and praise God for all those who continue to support Amazing Grace. That we're here because the grace of God, the love of God is upon your lives. And as you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, I hope you were blessed with the first seven verses in chapter 3. Next week, we'll probably conclude chapter 3 and move on to another book. And I'm praying about which book that we would bring forth to edify and to build you up, and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, I want to leave you a benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we bid you farewell this evening. God bless you. We'll see you very, very soon. And we're mighty thankful you logged in this evening. You take care. God bless you. And good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.